Webster's Dictionary defines art as the conscious use of skill and creative imagination, especially in the production of aesthetic objects. But to me, the definition is much more ambiguous than that. For this episode of the podcast, I headed back to Marquette to meet with Mr. Mike Forrester, who is the art director for Northern Michigan University's marketing department. But he's also much more than that. And like all of my guests, he has a story to tell. So without further ado, let's chat it up. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 9 of the Chat It Up podcast. I'm sitting here with Mr. Mike Forrester. Mike, thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So you have a very unique distinction of you are the first, what I would call trooper, to be on the podcast, or transplant youper, seeing how you're not born here in the UP, correct?
Yeah, I'm a Metro Detroiter. A former Vermonter, and my wife's from the UP.
I was gonna say your wife's from Marquette. You guys produced a beautiful Youper baby. So you're officially, you can say that you're a trooper, or what I call a trooper, a transplant Youper. So
we've always had the joke of when people go, well, "What's your Youper badge?" And someone said, "Well, it's 5 winters here." All right, and then I would say, as soon as you pay taxes here, you're pretty much a
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, and now, so, like, you were born in 87, graduated in 05, I believe-ish. Yep. Okay, so you came to Northern for school. What brought you up to Northern? What was it that drew you up here?
Well, the cool story is I wanted to snowboard. I was infatuated with snowboarding.
Okay.
And at that time, snowboarding was the coolest thing.
Around. This was like kind of the birth of the X Games. This was when snowboarding had fully transitioned into what I would consider like mainstream.
Sure.
And I came up and visited during what Casualties was used to throw an event called Boot Camp. And that was where you could go and learn to ride. They had all different levels, and they would bring pro snowboarders to come and teach you how to do different tricks.
Okay.
And I happened to be here on my welcome weekend, and they said, well, cool, you know, it's Saturday, go over and check this out. So I met Matt and Andy that day, and I said, this mountain is amazing. There's nobody here. Northern let me in. and this is a no-brainer. So I screwed up my application to CMU. And they said, well, we don't have enough information. At that point, I said, Northern's the only place that let me in.
Sure.
I'm going.
Okay.
On academic probation, and I work here now. So kind of success story is that?
I think it's a great one. And I think that your story, as cool and unique as it is, I think a lot of people, the draw here is the recreation stuff. I mean, we're surrounded by just, you get 5 minutes out of town, and it's just beauty everywhere you go. It's nature, it's the snowboarding, it's the biking, it's the hiking. I mean, you name it, it's like a step away.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know that you got your degree in graphic communications, correct?
Yep.
So have you always kind of had that, like, interest in art and creating, I mean, since you were little, or was it something that you kind of grew into?
Yeah, so my dad has been a photographer for 30 years. He used to be one of the main photographers for some of the big three, and then also Kmart when that was a thing, and a
sure.
lot of the regional promotional stuff he used to shoot. So if you look back in about the 1993, 1994 Kmart collective, and some of the advertisements, you might see my face in there as the cheapest extra that you'll find. So they used to, my parents used to say, hey, well, we need you to come and take a bunch of photos. And sure. Of course, as every 7-year old, I'm like, no way. And they said, but we have new toys. And it was like, I'm in, let's go. And as the, you know, so I grew up around big productions and sets and all that kind of stuff. And I always thought it was really cool because you'd be meeting all of these people as a kid. Of course, I never recognized how big some of these names were that my parents would talk about. And Detroit, being the Motor City, was such an attractant for a lot of talent down there. And obviously, with at the time I left, was, you know, we had really seen the city was in rough shape.
Sure.
And so that was part of my, you know, a lot of exodus for a lot of people at that
point.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, what's happening down here? It's been awesome to see that come back. But for my story personally, you know, a lot of the auto companies cut back on their marketing budgets. My dad and a lot of people were absolutely affected by that.
Sure.
And so, as things kind of changed, I said, "Well, what's, you know, I very clearly know that I'm not going to be a doctor, and I don't have the patience to study really anything else. But graphics were always something that I was super into, and I did that all through high school and drew, and you know, I wanted to go to art school and all that kind of stuff. But that was, you know, that growing up around it definitely kept my interest, but more so graphics at the time. This was pre-iPhone.
Sure.
This was before Apple was like really the titan that it is now.
Yeah.
Before a lot of user interface was the thing for a lot of people, you know, graphics were emerging at that point. So I said, hey, they've got a brand new facility up at Northern, and this makes a lot of sense for me in a lot of different ways.
That's awesome that this little school up here in the UP had, you know, kind of with this, I don't want to say emerging, because I mean, graphics have been around since the beginning of man, basically.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
Just to have that opportunity here and have that to draw you in, I just think is really cool. So when you graduated in 2009, where did life take you from there? I mean, did you slide right in at Northern, or did you? I know you mentioned you lived in Vermont for a time, and I know that that was kind of after your graduation period.
Yeah.
There,
so the story is all kind of like it's you know, I was bringing a lot of, there's a lot of people coming along for the ride with the story. From meeting Matt and Andy at Casualties in 2004, I started working there my freshman year, and I was like, I'll do anything. I was coming in just to pick stickers. I was
sure.
coming in to like help steam shirts and hang shirts up, getting unpaid. And they were like, this kid wants to hang around. Now, mind you, like I worked retail for a long, that was my thing when I was in high school. I worked
okay.
for Apple through all the holiday months. It
sure.
was like, I cut my teeth as a marketing and sales guy at, you know, 17, 18 years old, and I loved it. So going up to Casualties and saying, do you guys need another salesperson or someone else to help, you know, like I can sell computers to people, but like selling snowboards, man, that's easy because I
sure.
love that stuff.
Yeah.
And so eventually they, you know, Matt and Andy were like, yeah, I want to, you know, come on, jump on the team. And we, you know, did the grind for 4 years. And through that time, I had always wanted to make graphics. I mean, there's drawings I have of snowboarders and Burton Graphics and all these huge brands that I used to draw the graphics so intricately. This is like back in fourth grade. My mom, of course, keeps all this stuff. So and we just moved. So I have this bin that I go through and I'm like, oh, look at all this. But yeah, so I had always said, I want to make snowboard graphics. So, it probably about my junior year, I won a contest, a design contest, and and one of the reps for, a company called Rome Snowboards at the time, Pete Harview, was such an advocate for Midwestern talent. And he was like, hey man, you got to come out, like, let's get you connected with some of these guys, 'cause I love that you're so passionate about making art and design. And from there, it ended up leading into, I went interned out there.
Wow.
Burlington, Vermont, Waterbury, Vermont, they're not that much different from Marquette.
Like, sure.
I think latitude, they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And so they're very similar, you know, college town right there, UVM. So I went out there and I did that my senior year. And then from when I came back, I graduated, and they called me about, geez, I'd say probably a couple months after, and I was still living in Marquette, living on my lease.
Yeah.
And they're like, you want to come over and let's do the thing. Awesome. Sounds great. So
yeah,
we moved.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I had wanted to make snowboards, and I moved out there, and I'd interned for these guys, and then they called me up and said, let's do it. So I was in Detroit for about a week, set up all my stuff, ditched a bunch of stuff, and I put everything I could packed into a Saturn View and drove out to Vermont and said, I'm living here now. And did that. And then eventually that transitioned from Rome Snowboards, to Burton Snowboards, the design firm that that handled all of the Burton Snowboard graphics, also in Burlington. So it was a little surreal interviewing for a company that I had said in fourth grade, this is the company I want to make graphics
for. I was just about to say, you went from drawing pictures of Burton Snowboards in fourth grade to now you're interviewing. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that was fun. And the company was, the design firm at the time was kind of going through some financial turmoil, and so they had started to kind of shed a lot of employees, and I was one of those people. So we moved back to Detroit for about a year. I worked for in the auto industry, doing design and some point of sale stuff.
Sure.
And then from there, Ben Johnson from Elgin's Eagles called me and was like, hey, come on up. Did that. Opportunity came up at Northern for their first art director, and I was like, let's figure it out. Let's see how we can do it. And I was lucky enough to land the gig, and that's where I've been for about 4 or 5 years. I don't even know. That's how long it's been.
Well, I love the whole side of that story of like leaving, but then coming back, because obviously opportunity kind of brought you back up this way, but it takes more than just opportunity to bring you back to an area. Obviously, there needs to be some sort of a draw as far as, you know, you obviously liked something about living here to come back. Obviously, your wife's family was from up here, but constantly I hear the story of people leaving and then wanting to get back to this area.
Yeah.
There's something special about it.
Yeah.
What was it for you, really? I mean, besides obviously the job opportunity, but what is the kind of other stuff here that really kind of draws you to Marquette?
Well, I think as a creative, which kind of, you know, can also tie into culture of cult, as a creative, you're always kind of looking for where it is, right? And, you know, there was a time, and I mean, when I graduated from, you know, from NMU in 2009 or 10 or whatever semester it was, it was like, everyone's got to go to Chicago. Everyone's got to go to Portland, Oregon, go to New York, all these places,
sure.
Big cities, right?
Yep.
And I had gotten, when I went out to Vermont, you know, it was like Vermont's only like 3.5 hours long. It's a whole state, right?
Okay, yeah.
And being super connected into the art and design scene, and then being able to drive over to Boston or drive to New York or go to any of these places that were really, the East Coast is so smashed together. It was cool because you've got this caffeine to you that's like, oh, there's always stuff happening. Montreal was an hour away.
Sure.
Amazing city. And so I think when you're thinking of, okay, we're kind of entering phase three of your life, right?
Sure.
And you're going, where is it happening? And all of those other places just felt so busy. They were already happening. Like there was already like, oh man, we've got 20 design firms already. We've got,
sure.
You know, there's 16 galleries, all this stuff, like the weird stuff that I love. It was already happening. So when I moved back to Detroit, this was kind of when the pop-up stuff was happening.
Yep.
This is when, you know, hey, if you, you know, follow along with the gallery, and if you miss it, you know, you're going to miss it for the night. And there was, and these artists were coming in, like Shepherd Fairey's kind of kicking around. And when we moved up to Marquette, I remember thinking, man, this is tough because Detroit's about to blow up for creatives. And I, of course, looking back now, there would have been a ton of opportunities because I have a lot of buddies who moved back to Detroit.
Okay.
And they're doing very well now. And
sure.
They're working on great, amazing projects. But that is a city that was like, come here because anything goes right now.
Sure.
And when I moved up to Marquette, I remember thinking, I don't want to let the relax, take it easy, isn't this a beautiful place mindset that I remember feeling like when
sure.
I was here and how I always felt when I would come on vacation. I said, don't let that get in the way of the fact that this place is prime for something that's coming.
Absolutely.
Design, creative, look in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, Ben Johnson's running a very successful design firm. Most of his clients aren't from the area. Most of his employees aren't from the area.
Correct.
So that's happening here. Look at, you know, like Spigarelli was talking about, you know, Getz's and all these places, like our beer scene is crazy.
Absolutely.
And so creatively, we can be a place. We just need to get the right pieces in place. And I think we're definitely on that track. So
I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, you've certainly kept busy. I mean, like you said, you know, being NMU's first art director, I mean, you played a humongous role in the rebranding.
Yep.
So I'd love to talk with you a little bit about that. Like, how did that whole process even come about? I mean, were you necessarily the catalyst, or was this something that was in the works prior to your arrival into that position? I mean,
well, they had the marketing department was in a mode of transformation.
Sure.
When I had got here. So my boss Derek, who's now he's the chief marketing officer, he was like, I got a message, we can help with this, but we need a team of people who can execute. And there was a lot of, like most colleges will usually find a couple different firms that work for specific clients, and they'll kind of farm themselves out and, hey, you know, we work with this firm. And we didn't have centrally a creative team that was able to do the stuff that we needed, that, you know, tell the message and get that stuff out there. So it used to be, you know, when you work with a design firm, it's like hit the stopwatch and you're getting charged money. And
sure.
As soon as we're doing stuff. So you had to be really prepared and concise about what message you want to get there and let them come up with it in revisions. But when you bring it in-house, it allows for people to be able to mull things over, to be able to chew on things, to be able to develop things that, though it seems like, oh, well, we're adding new employees, the return on investment is incredible if you're able to put together the right team.
And absolutely.
And I give Derek such praise for being able to find some amazing people that were able to be a part of that. But that was the first, you know, within the first 2 years, it was, okay, let's look at everything that we're doing. Is it meeting not only, you know, 2016, 2015 standards of what other schools are doing, because it is so competitive. It's sure. So competitive for schools and where we don't have a lot of the flash and the, you know, the excitement of, say, a Big Ten school with sports.
Sure.
And just this, you know, this culture. They said, well, why don't we need to establish ourselves in a different spot, in a different way. And as we kind of developed that theme, you know, a big thing that came out, you know, it was doing away with Northern Naturally, which of course at the time was like, oh, how could you do that?
But right.
The decision and how we kind of came to the identity was that Northern Naturally never really spoke to the academics. And when people, you know, if you walked into a job interview and said, oh, I went to Harvard, they'd say, wow, that's a really good school. They don't say, oh, isn't Boston lovely?
Right.
Right? Because it stands on its own. And so when you say Northern Naturally, all it was doing was just kind of reconfirming that people thought that we lived in log cabins and you know, mountain biked everywhere.
Sure.
And so when you would come into a job interview as a student, where's Northern? Oh, I love Marquette. You're like, oh, wait, but I'm super qualified for this position. I'm glad that you like Marquette, but like, I worked really hard on my degree and I'm very proud of that. And so we wanted to kind of realign ourselves. We were never going to not market what a beautiful place Marquette is. And if you look at all of our marketing material, there's always some tie-in to the fact that we have such a unique place for students.
Absolutely.
To come and study and get their degree. But we wanted to also give recognition to the incredible faculty we have here, the you know, next level programs, medicinal plant chemistry, you know, and stuff like that. That is absolutely in the direction that we're going. So to kind of pull back from saying, here's Northern, it's in a beautiful place, you'll probably have fun here. It's like, this is Northern Michigan University. This is where you're going to get your degree. You're going to become an amazing person when you leave, set in a beautiful place. We got everything you need. And that was kind of part of the messaging of what we were doing. And it was super rewarding to see that because people have really embraced the changes. You know, I finally, we were able to do away with the old Wildcat head. Yes. And as you're designing jerseys, which was, you know, a fun part of what I get to do.
Oh, man, that'd be like a dream.
As a Detroit sports fan, you know, it was like I grew up in the awesome era of Red Wings hockey. And,
for sure.
You know, and the, you know, not, I was post Bad Boys, but 2004, man, we were the champs, you know, Big Ben, Rashid, yes, all those guys. So to be able to design jerseys, you know, it was like the old cat had just, the first time I designed a jersey, I'm like, this is horrible. And it didn't have our colors. It was a black Wildcat with a circular, like it couldn't do anything. So we, being able to change that and update that just made us feel like, hey, cool, this is a school for, you know, the future and beyond. And obviously the reception's been awesome to it. And, you know, I just, we're finishing up the new hockey jerseys. They look amazing, super cool. We're seeing all kinds of people share the excitement, picking up new jerseys. There's a lot of life in the program right now. So, that was it was about kind of realigning our message as a university to, I think the trap with a lot of academics is that we define oftentimes what is success. For a lot of people, they just look at it and say, well, who's the CEO of the biggest company of all our alumni? We have a fairly popular one. Mm-hmm. But I think when I came here, it was saying, what about putting everyone who graduates from here that's happy and successful by their terms? All those stories are equal, in my opinion, right? Because if you just look at statistics, however many thousands of graduates, the statistics are incredibly low of who's going to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Sure.
Yeah. But look at the amount of people that have gone on to operate businesses, who have gone on to employ other NMU grads, who have gone on to do things at a smaller level or a huge level or whatever that level is. They're doing their thing. They're happy. They remember their time very fondly. That's successful. And that story is just as important as anyone who's on this grandstand of what we used to do, because that was just a very common thing that academics used to do. So the story from when you leave is just as important as anyone else's. And so that's where we're finding better connections with people and saying that this is a place where you're going to become someone different, and we want you to fall in love with who that person is, and we want to have everything laid out for you to be successful based on what you think is success to you.
I love that, and I love the idea of everybody's stories, and you can see that not only in your marketing or ads that you see, but you see it around campus as well. Like, just for example, off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the murals outside of, you know, actually, there's murals when you go into the dome.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm dropping my my tablet here. Even over at the Berry, the murals, and you've got student athletes up there.
Yeah.
And when, for me, not going to school here or anything like that, I see these student athletes and I go, I wonder who that is. I wonder what their story is.
Right.
That's where I take it.
Right.
So then I might start looking around on the website and like checking out like, oh, there's the field hockey team or whatever. I was just on my lunch day, I was walking in the dome with my girlfriend, and we had commented about somebody was wearing field hockey stuff. So then I was like checking out the field hockey team, things like that.
Yeah.
It's sharing those stories and seeing that around campus on these huge murals all over the place. I don't even know if mural is the right word.
But these
large graphics.
Big graphics. Huge graphics. Yeah.
Even all the way down to the banners that are hanging in the dome now.
Yeah, with the alumni on them. Yeah.
It just makes a world of difference.
Right.
And it totally brings a different vibe that I personally like. And I think it's a welcome change.
Sure.
Like you said, the response I feel has been very, very positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been awesome. And as an alumni, I mean, our whole department, Kelsey, who does our marketing, unbelievable what she does. You know, she's an alumni. Josh LeClaire, the guy who does all of our photo and video, the stuff that's getting recognized by the NCAA, the stuff that's getting, you know, 400,000 views because people are so excited about some, you know, the when we were in the playoffs last year in the championship game, it was like that video. I mean, that's, you know, that's made by an alumni. That's
absolutely,
and we're putting our students to work and they're making stuff. So it's I mean, it's a full NMU effort at what we do here. And and it is funny because sometimes we will get comments on, oh, how much, you know, who is the firm that did this? And I'm like, oh no, I'm sitting right here,
right?
I'm sitting right here listening to you, you know, ask questions. And that's what's cool about it, because, you know, there was that for a while. It was, whoa, who made all this stuff? Because it was so new and different and quality. It took such a jump in such a short amount of time. But
it really did. That hockey hype video last year was fantastic.
Yeah.
My dad is an alumni, and he and my mother had come up for a hockey game, and he had commented right away on the hype video. He was like, that's impressive. And I'm like, just knowing what you guys do, I told him, I said, yeah, and they made it here in-house.
Yeah.
So that type of stuff, I think, just really goes a long way. To transition a little bit, because I know obviously you have your job here as the art director at Northern, but you also, I mean, in your own respect, you have a lot of personal work out there as a designer and an illustrator, and you've worked with some pretty big names. I'm going to test you. I want you to list some of the ones that you've worked with, and we'll see how we'll see how humble you are if you don't list all of the ones that I have down.
So
what are some of the companies or brands that you've worked with?
All right, well, let's see. So we're in the UP, so obviously I got a job for the Green Bay Packers when I was still in school. That was pretty exciting. A buddy of mine that we went to school with since we were in seventh grade ended up being a Pro Bowler and played for a couple different NFL teams. So I did some stuff for the Houston Texans. That was a lot of fun. Then, you know, Burton Snowboards, Rome Snowboards, Liquid Force Wakeboards, if you're into that kind of stuff, is cool. Did some work with X Games, ESPN. Mm-hmm. Had a couple jobs with Mountain Dew and some of those more corporate guys. But, you know, it's been... you work with bands. You get to do some
that's
concert.
What I had down here too.
Oh, cool.
Grace Potter and the Nocturnals was the one that...
Yeah, she's from Vermont, you know. And when the hurricane came and kind of wiped out our town, she did this huge benefit that was like, you know, we're gonna raise a bunch of money and the concert venue in town, you know, they hit me up because I that's what I use. I mean, that's my hustle. Is I'm maybe it's because I'm so cheap that I'm like, how can I not spend money on things? And I'm totally willing to trade talent for whatever it was. And at the time, it was like, if you can let me into the show for free,
sure,
and I can save $35 on tickets and make a poster that I get to give to the band, that's a good deal for me. And so the concert venue's going, geez, we used to pay someone $500 for a concert poster. That's a good deal for us. And I hope I didn't put anybody out of business, but it was just, that's how I've operated. I've always operated on, you know, is the project cool and how much is it worth? And there's some times where I'll say, yeah, you know, I'm you know, kind of locked up in my freelance right now. It'll be this much. And then there's some times where, you know, I helped Adam, Roberge from Howling Buddha get his mm-hmm. business off the ground, and he was like, well, how much do you want for it? And I just remember kind of saying, we'll figure it out, you know what I mean? Because I was so excited for him to get this business started, and then he actually left his current job because he wants to pursue it full time, and that's like, that's the hustler's anthem right there. So I wanted to kind of, you know, he's been huge in helping me get some jobs in town. And I kind of wanted to give, you know, kind of, you know, pay that respect back to him and say, here, let me give you a really nice package to get started with. And they're already like on their way to expanding and going in different markets and doing all kinds of stuff. So, it's, you know, there's a ton of, and I'm sure I'm missing tons of people. It's just kind of, it turns into a...
You hit everyone that I had listed.
Okay, good.
The only one that you didn't specifically mention by name was Red Bull. But,
oh, yeah.
But that was the only one that you didn't specifically mention by name. But everything else that I had.
Sure.
Oh, also Upper Hand Brewery, I guess. That was another one that I
Yeah, that was but... that was my, you know, Elegant Seagulls used to do more branding at the time, and they've kind of switched over to more the UI and the web.
Mm-hmm.
But we had gotten hit up from when Upper Hand was just at that point, it was just a plot of land.
Yep.
And Laura Bell said, we want to work with a UP firm. And we want to develop stuff, and that was a ton of fun. And then I ended up, you know, kind of being the point person for that gig and making all the packaging. And of course, they kind of switched away from it now. You evolve.
Yeah.
But Sam Reese, the chief brewer over there, was like, we still took a ton of elements and put them in there to pay some homage to the beginnings, and it's really cool to see. But yeah, I mean, I work with Ordoc Brewing a ton, and you know, mm-hmm. they're and it's just it's a small town. I love seeing people on the grind going for it. And so there's so many times where we'll be aligned in what we're going for and what do we want to do. We want to put awesome products out there that help give recognition either to the UP or to ourselves or something that we can really be proud of. The six-pointer, the Stormy Cromer beer, I've worked a lot with Stormy Cromer and did that packaging for that.
That's awesome. I like that. And obviously I love Stormy Cromer.
For sure. But for me, it's like there was already a great artist that had kind of laid out the original stuff. So I didn't really want to take any thunder. I just laid it out and said, hey, I'm happy to help with this project and see this come to life. And Ordoc's had such a great reception with the beer and with the packaging. It looks awesome on the shelf.
It does.
Beautiful
Stormy
plaid on there. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, there's days where it's all humility, and there's days where you're super excited to stand up and shout. And, you know, I think that's the life of being creative.
Sure.
You know?
And that's an awesome segue, because you were just talking about the Ordoc and kind of giving artists that light to shine and everything. So that's a perfect kind of transition into Culture of Cult.
Yeah.
Which you have coming up here, I believe, is this the 8th or 9th? Yeah, 8th
this
installment,
is the 8th,
right?
Yeah.
8th installment. Yeah. So for those listening in who may not be exactly aware, what is Culture of Cult?
Yeah, so Culture of Cult is a one-night-only pop-up show, which means that at 5 o'clock on this one is particularly, it's on the 18th, it's the kickoff event for Fresh Coast, for literally 7 hours. You get to come in, you see this work, some of it is brand new, exclusive for the show, and then we take it down. And it's kind of like you have to be there to see it, and it's the theme changes with every show. This is number 8. We've done all kinds of awesome stuff. We've done skateboards. There was a fundraiser for the skate park here. There was we did Star Wars. We did Batman for the 75-year anniversary of Batman. You know, we did music posters one year. And so, you know, that the theme changes, the reason and why they started, and like I said earlier, you know, you come up to Marquette and you're like, what can we do to make this place creative more than what people expect out of it? And it's interesting because in so many ways, I love the UP, Uper motto, UP for what we are up here, but in so many ways I also think is that make everyone comfortable. And does that turn new talent off? Does that turn growth off in some ways? Because, you know, go and read any local spot when a new place says that they're showing up and people either complain that, oh, I wish it was something else, or what are they gonna do here? You know, and it's in so many ways we're the nicest people. And in so many ways, Marquette is like the biggest club that you're not sure if you can get into.
that is such a great analogy. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. So, but for the most part, when people recognize that there's someone local who's trying to make an impact in some way, the reception is usually out of control. Like I made that graphic for Bugsy for the Keweenaw flood relief.
Yep.
We sold like $36,000 worth of T-shirts and stickers and stuff to give to them, you know? And that was just, people loved the design and just said, let's make it. And we gave all that money away. Like, we didn't make a dime off that.
Yeah.
And that's where you recognize when people want to help this place. And so when I came up and I said, I'm going to, you know, I had this idea. I want to do an art show, you know, and Elegant Seagulls was the first sponsor of it, because I needed a couple hundred bucks to buy frames and just at least get pay for shipping and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to reach out to some really big artists and say, hey, I've got this kind of crazy idea. I'd like to make a one-night-only art show. Would you be interested in making work for it and also sending work in, and if you're from outside the area, so that I can say, hey, this is this new artist that you've never heard of, and they're going to be, they have artwork here in Marquette, Michigan, at the Ore Dock. Wow, who would have thought, right? And and it turned into something really cool, because it brought, through all of my years of working with, you know, when I was with the Burton Project, we were meeting all, as soon as you start swinging the name Burton, every artist is like, ooh, we're checking it out. So I just ended up running into a lot of people and getting contacts with people.
Sure.
Some really big name artists that still had that, yeah, I can recognize a really cool thing when I see it mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The skateboard show particularly, it's like we had some artists that would have charged Burton $10,000 for art. And some of these guys were like, oh yeah, I love that idea. Send me a board, I'll paint it custom, I'll send it back to you for nothing, just because they thought it was awesome.
That's crazy.
And yeah, if you put it on eBay, man, you're rich.
Oh, that's what I, yeah.
But it's they recognize what it was. And the part that also is awesome for me is, as a student, I remember feeling like it's happening somewhere else, because when the content burst came in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and everyone started manipulating Facebook, and sure. all of a sudden it was all about put stuff out there, it started to make the world feel even bigger and even mm-hmm. smaller in so many ways.
Sure.
It kind of started to give, as my students, and sometimes we laugh and say, it gave me a FOMO, fear of missing out.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah, no, the FOMO is real.
And being that we are up here, in so many ways, Marquette is an amazing place to live for the Midwest, because we're closer to Milwaukee and Chicago than we are to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a show in Detroit, there's a show in Minneapolis, like, we can get there. If you live in Detroit, unless you're flying, you're not going to the show in Minneapolis.
Right.
But if you're in Marquette, you're like, show down Detroit, let's go there. Show in Milwaukee, let's go there. Show in Minneapolis, let's go there. And so we were kind of starting to reach these feelers out. But as a student, I remember thinking, man, I've got to leave. I've got to go somewhere else to find this culture and all these awesome art crank and all these shows about bikes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not happening in Marquette. So when I started Culture of Cult, I put a really big emphasis on having the students involved and sending in artwork and making artwork and having them as that being their first non-NMU art show participation. And for a lot of them, I'd seen so many interviews, so many resumes, so many students that had come to us when we worked at Rome and said, man, I'm in galleries. I was in galleries and I'm a published artist. And I'd look at the resume and I'd go, what were you published in? Oh, I was in this magazine. And it's like the alumni magazine. They were doing art for their alumni magazine. Sure. Or they were in the UVM Vermont Artist Gallery, you know?
Sure.
And I remember being like, well, sure, you're technically right, but it's like, they need some help there.
Yeah.
You kind of made some. But for the Culture of Cult, there were huge names like Aaron Draplin, John Contino, guys that are making, you know, they're making work for national campaigns. Like Aaron Draplin is probably the most popular graphic designer in the past 20 years, just on his, and he came here a couple years ago, but every blog, every story has been done about that guy. I told him about the show. He's like, Michigan art show? Like, I love it. I'll send you work. He just sent me stuff. It's amazing. And to have a student be able to have their work hang on the wall next to Aaron Draplin, that's mind-blowing.
That is.
They take a picture of it and they tag Aaron Draplin. Aaron, I'm not sure how I ended up next to you, but I'm at the Culture of Cult right now. And I'm so humbled to be next to your work. Awesome. And he'll like respond, oh, no way, man, that's great. You know, he's an awesome guy. But that was a huge reason for me to do this, is to get to develop talent here, create a confidence that we have the talent, the motivation, the skill sets, the ability to be able to make a kick-ass show that could stand up anywhere in the country. And it's happening here in Marquette.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that when I go, oh my gosh, I can't do these shows anymore, there's so much work, I'm pulling my hair out. Every night, the night after everyone leaves and we look at the whole show, and I'm like, this was amazing. we're doing it again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, so, and every time you have this show, it, because I've been to, I think, every single one. I don't think I've missed one. It's like standing room only, barely. It's like packed to the gills.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's totally got to make it worth there alone. But so you had mentioned, like, you know, you're pulling your hair out, you know, and it's a lot of work. I'm assuming, obviously, this isn't just a one-man band. You've got to have a lot of help, I would think, from...
We've had, you know, Paul Hess, who actually we met through the first Culture of Cult. I had a buddy from Elgin Siegel's, Jim DeBrock, that was like, hey, I know the screen printer in town. You got to hit this guy up. And so I hit him up. I'm like, hey, Jim says you're good. What's up, man? Would you like to be in the show? Because I needed artists. I was like, I'll take anybody at this point. And Paul is the best screen printer I have ever seen. And for those who don't know what screen printing is, it is like the way of traditionally burning and pushing ink through onto paper. It's completely hand done. Mm-hmm. He is the best screen printer I have ever worked with. Lights out, bar none, absolutely. He runs a great little shop called Northmost Outpost. They do all kinds of like custom, you know, they're up at UP Supply Co.
Yes.
But he is the best screen printer I've ever worked with. And his temperament is so great because he's such a like, I'm the lead singer and Paul is the bass player, just sitting back there making sure everything's on point. It sounds good. All right, we're rolling here. And I'm over here screaming my head off, making sure, you know, like, how are we doing? You know?
Right.
And so Paul has been instrumental in not only like handling like our merch and selling stuff for us and like reaching out to artists and saying, hey man, I want to like, let's get your work sent here. Let's do this. Let's get you set up, reaching out to people. Here's the structure of the show. You know, Derek Christian, who's the Dean of art and design. You know, I mean, I was a student under Derek. And so when I had this idea for the show, I reached out to all of them and I said, hey, in a weird way, we're coworkers now, which is funny, right? Because I'm on the staff side, they're on the faculty side. I'm like, we're coworkers now. I'm like, would you guys be interested in make as creative as artists? Mm-hmm. Would you guys be interested in making some art for the shows? Five of the faculty have been in every single show and their students are in the show. So it's like, it's a full, you know, like I said, it's a full court NMU show here and it lets the students look at their faculty and say, dang, like he's still got it. Like he's not just teaching cause he's bored. He's teaching cause he's good.
Sure.
And there's that respect there and Derek and Keith and, Jordan, who's leaving us from NMU to go. Actually, he just got a job at Founders. That speaks to the talent because you know NMU alumni going everywhere and beat out 100 other people for a job because he's that good, and that's a testament to what we've got going on here. But there's people who come and go who help out with the show the night before. John Teichman, who I'm sure you know, he's the kind of the one man band himself for all things pop culture and music in town. He's been awesome as just a guy who goes and lobbies for everything cool that's happening in town. And he'll go to the interviews at, you know, 5 AM on the radio and he's come to this and Culture of Cult. It's so cool. And he's such a magnet for positive energy and for activism of people who are doing things in the community. So, it is still largely me that kind of comes up with most of the craziness, but my team of those guys, I mean, everyone's been so awesome about saying, hey, how can we help? Here's what I need. I know it sounds crazy. No one's faltered. Awesome. Let's get it done. And the night before, I mean, we'll hang till 2 a.m.
Sure.
So ORDOC will usually have an event. And so we're sitting down there with 45 pieces of art ready to be run up the stairs.
Yep.
And as soon as that door opens and those people filter out, it's like, you know, we're putting up easels.
Yeah.
The news, you know, I'll leave about 2 a.m. The news, TV6 will be over at 5 a.m. It's like you sleep for 3 hours and then you're up all day up till 2 a.m. again that night. And you survive. But it's...
Right.
It's always been, like I said, every time you're like, this is crazy. Can we keep doing this after every show? Absolutely. On to the next one. So
is there like a selection or criteria process for artists? I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, let's say there's a kid in Nobin Way who can, you know, is highly talented and is pumping out some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
how is it possible for him to be a part of Culture of Cult, or anybody for that matter?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're pretty, over the past, Culture of Cult, probably like by show 10, we're going to kind of decide if we want to, you know, restructure it or try to actually get some licensed shows and like really get like some big name people to come in and actually try to be up longer. The one night only thing is awesome in so many ways, and so many ways is frustrating. Because there's a lot of people who are like, I just can't participate because I don't want to send insured work.
Yeah.
I don't want to send it there for one night only because it's going to cost $400 to ship.
Sure.
It's going to be, you know, then you got to ship it out the next day. It's expensive artwork. If you're at a brewery, some guys get nervous about that. Some people, you know, like I think the Danny Nope, she does these beautiful cold water species fish. You know, she sends prints, and I'm like, well, how much would it be for an original? You don't even want to know because it's that special. It's that awesome. Yeah. And so, like, for us, you know, and she's, you know, she makes her living as an artist. And so, you know, some of the work is, you know, there's people who are like, wow, that, you know, like some of the Sacred Tattoo guys. This is a one custom, one off, beautiful watercolor painting done. It's $400, right? Because it took 10 hours to do.
Yeah.
These guys are charging, that's, you know, $40 an hour, as you would pay a plumber or anybody else to come out and do a service, right?
For sure.
And so sometimes I think the sticker shock of art has kind of done, you know, like it's been awesome in some ways. We're getting people used to it. But for people to, you know, and that's kind of the beauty of the show is that it doesn't necessarily need, you don't have to be a full-time creative. We have a ton of people in the show that do that. That dabble, or they do stuff that, you know, it has to still meet a quality that that doesn't diminish anything else in the show.
Sure.
We kind of have to have a baseline. And I kind of run some ideas by people. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
And sometimes the artists, if we get started early enough, we'll be able to refine their concept.
Okay.
Some people go a little bit too off the deep end. Some people, you know, like the biggest thing for this show particularly, you know, we just wrapped up video games.
Yes.
The first thing that everyone thought of was Mario. And I was like, guys, someone's got to do something different because we're going to have 40 Marios in this show. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to keep your eye on it. And some people get, you know, they get kind of grift because they're like, well, yeah, that was my thing. And I'm usually kind of like first come, first serve. We've already got three Marios. Okay, yeah. Pick something else. But no, it's reach out to us. I mean, we're always looking for new talent. And we love mixing in that local talent with national recognized talent. And that's what really makes it cool because it gives people here, Kyle Souter, who's a freelance designer. He does gig posters and he's got this really cool, like scratchy hand lettering, hand done.
Yeah.
He's blowing up. He's done every single Culture of Cult. And he was a friend of mine because we worked together, at Rome, and he was absolutely down with the first show, and he's been in every single show, and there have been people who come and they buy his prints. There's some people who have like six of his prints because they come to the show saying, I love Kyle's stuff. They follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
They follow along, and that's part of why we do this, because for people in Marquette, how are you supposed to sift through all of this stuff out there? But when it's presented in front of you, whoa, I love this guy's stuff. Whoa, they've got other work. Here we go. I'm going to follow along. And that's a huge reason why we do the show.
What has been your favorite installment? Mine was the one up, because the whole video game culture, that's like nostalgia for me.
And being able to play the games was a ton of fun.
That for sure was like my favorite one so far. But which one do you, which if you had to pick a favorite?
You know, we've been trying to do something to add something to the shows. Fulfillment-wise, being able to raise $6,000 for the Marquette Skate Park and have them put in a feature with our name on it was super cool because I've never been able to have anything like that. Nothing's ever happened like that. And so to combine art, to combine skateboarding, to have Matt and Andy from Casualties be the sponsor of like their last hurrah. That was something that I'll always remember because that was like, you know, I hope my kid skates on that someday and looks down and says, hey, my dad helped put this in there.
For sure.
Which is awesome. I would say just topically the most fun. I'm a massive Star Wars fan. If you get to know me more, you'll know that like I'm like next level Star Wars fan. But we had the members of the 501st Legion, which are like the screen accurate characters from the Star Wars universe, were actually in attendance. And so we had kind of, we did all these promo shots at the bar of these stormtroopers drinking this beer, and it was so cool. And people had kind of showed up and they were looking at the art and they're saying, well, I thought the stormtroopers were going to be here. And I kind of said, well, not sure if they could make it. You know, it's really hard. They're, you know, making jokes. They're on the Death Star right now. It's very complicated this time of year. and then we had kind of said at, you know, 7:30, the lights kind of came down. We turned the lights on. They were red over in the back. And I went on the microphone and I said, you know, we've got some very special guests that want to be here. And the photos from that night capture why we do this show, because Chewbacca came out in all his 8-foot glory and then Darth Vader came out and then the storm, you know, the sand trooper came out, and it was for people to get up there and get their pictures taken. And those guys are literally troopers, because those costumes are very difficult to wear.
I'm sure.
Like you can't see out of them that well. You have to maintain a certain posture. They were up there for like 2 hours getting photos with people, and I still see people's Facebook profile pictures with
I'm sure.
selfie with Darth Vader, you know? So that for me was the most fun show, because of the excitement and the buzz that we got out of that. We had a live, Paul was doing live screen prints, and you got to pick the, you know, do you want to be a part of the Rebellion or the Empire? And you got to pull your own screen, and you got this little takeaway piece. I mean, it was so cool. Ordok brewed specific beer.
Yeah.
And we tallied it up and said, who drank more, the Jedi or the Empire? And, you know, the Jedi won at the last second. it was awesome. It was so cool. So, I mean, you know, and then for this show particularly, the kind of spin on it is we're gonna the details are being worked out, but we're gonna dedicate and donate a portion of all the artwork sold to the Chocolate Raptor Center.
Yeah. So this 8th edition, I mean, so this is the 4th year technically, because you started in 2014, but the 8th edition is titled Kingdom Come.
Yep.
And everything is based around animals.
Yeah. So the animal kingdom, you know, for a lot of people, and that's why it made sense to team up with Fresh Coast, because Fresh Coast has been so awesome at being able to maintain this theme of saying, well, it's about the environment that we live in, whether water is a part of it, or whether it's doing something that makes us move because of it. And animals have always coincided with that idea that if they live here, it's big, it's wild.
Absolutely.
And people are passionate about it. So the Chocolate Raptor Center is an amazing group of people who rehabilitate birds of prey that have been either hit by cars, or, you know, they've fallen and they're, you know, broken wing, and they'll rehabilitate them and set them back in the wild. Or if they're already deceased, then they clean them up and they donate them to the School of Biology. So we were filming actually for the School of Biology, and like a snowy owl came in, and like they're marvelous animals.
Yeah.
And just to have this specimen in front of you, you're like, this thing is incredible, that this thing flies around and exists without any human, it needs no humans necessary, you know?
Sure.
That's kind of the wonder of why we want to do a show. So to be able to give something back is always that part that we want to make Culture of Cult be a part of that.
Yeah.
But for patrons, it's very easy to show up and say, oh, I love this series of these owls. I'm buying these, supporting the arts, getting some awesome work for your wall. Christmas is coming.
Like, yeah.
Get some custom stuff.
For sure. I think it's an amazing, like a perfect collaboration, you know, Culture of Cult and the, you know, Fresh Coast Film Fest. Yeah. It's very hand in glove. And it's kind of like two different types of art kind of gelling together, and it goes back to what you were talking about kind of just collaborating and working with local people and that type of thing too. So I love that part about it as well. It's really kind of a camaraderie, I guess you could say.
Oh, for sure.
So I'll definitely need to plug the Fresh Coast Film Fest. Shout out to Bugsy and to Aaron Peterson.
Yep.
Yeah, because I mean, the amount of work that they put in to put that together, and this is their third year doing it.
I do it one night only, and I look at how much work goes into it, and those guys are doing huge things with just the two of them, running businesses, having families. My hat is off to them constantly.
And Bugsy's got Platter Day coming up,
too. Bugsy's not busy at all. He's got nothing going on. That's why I love working with him.
So you touched a little bit about, you touched on a little bit about where you kind of see things going for Culture of Cult. Or I guess I should say, where do you see it going? You touched a little bit about maybe adding in some criteria for, like, once you hit, you know, like 10 of them. But yeah, what are some other things that you maybe kind of see Culture of Cult heading towards?
You know, a big thing that we're trying to do is bring more people to Marquette.
Okay.
And seeing this place. Because it's one thing to describe it as, oh, it's a really humble little tourist town on a great lake. Like, someone might sit there and go, oh, I've, you know, what am I going to, you know, am I going to Grand Rapids, or am I going to Holland, or where,
little,
you know,
little Traverse City?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think there's the misconception that there is something really special about this town. And I would love to bring more people. I'd love to bring more people here to experience that, because when they go back, they're going to tell people about it. And the time when I saw that was when I worked for Casualties, and we would bring these snowboarders to come here, and they were blown away that we had this many people that were excited about snowboarding, a great mountain, ton of snow.
Yeah.
And then they, like, one of the guys was from Utah, and he's like, they took me surfing, and I was surfing in Lake Superior in one of the craziest days that I remember. And he's sitting here going, these people do this every fall. These people are nuts.
Yeah.
I'm over here thinking, I'm riding huge mountains in Utah thinking I'm the, you know, this is adventure land.
Yeah.
He's cracking up thinking, these people are insane.
Right.
We have surfing and snowboarding all in the same day in Michigan. Like, this is mind blowing to me. And it's not Detroit, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Let's not confuse the two. That I would say people are, I would say, wholly uneducated on the state of Michigan. And that's, I think, bringing more people here to see what we have going on here is what I'd like to do more of, whether it's NMU, or whether it's Culture of Cult, or whether it's, you know, more creative people coming here and say, could I do something here? Because that's what a lot of people at that level are looking to do. We're trying to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, how many could we bring a film director here and say, I don't need to film up in Vancouver. I can film here in Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, I can film here. I can find a crew. I can put people together. Pure Michigan was just up here last week. They brought a bunch of filmers up here from downstate. One of them was an alumni.
Yep.
And I look at that and I think, well, how could we hire local talent? How could we develop the creative community better so that we are prepared for stuff like this? Because the word is out.
Yeah.
And it's only growing. So how do we get creative people on some of these jobs? People want to come in and set up and do a production here. But how do we get it so that that production gets chosen for Marquette?
Yeah.
And some people might disagree with me that they want that kind of exposure, but I've got kids. I want my daughter to be able to, if she wants to stay here, I want her to be able to stay here.
Sure.
I don't want her to feel like she got forced out, like a lot of people felt like once I graduated, there's nothing here for me.
Yeah, retain that talent. Right. Absolutely. For sure. So, well, that is pretty much, you hit everything on my list. You checked off all my boxes. I don't know if there's anything else that you
want to add. I'm a seasoned interviewer, Scott.
Yeah,
I've run this gamut a couple times.
I guess. So, just once again, I want to plug, you know, the 8th edition of Culture of Cult, Kingdom Come. Thursday, October 18th, starts at 7. It's at Ordock Brewing. It's basically the kickoff to the Fresh Coast Film Fest.
Yep.
The Film Fest runs the 18th to the 21st, I believe. For those that don't know about Fresh Coast Film Fest, or if you haven't listened to Bugsy's podcast, you really should go back and listen to that first episode. But it's a film festival that pairs up outdoor adventures, which is super cool. And nobody else is doing it. So get your butt up here to Marquette and come and check it out. My one last question for you, which I know you've listened to my podcast, so you already know what's coming. Ketchup or gravy or what do you put on your pasty?
You know, to be honest, I'm like, mashed potatoes to me are for gravy. I'm a ketchup guy with pasty.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And really the first time that I got this experience, and I'm assuming it's because maybe I did it wrong according to some people, but when I was in eighth grade, My dad is infatuated with this place. He, you know, he's from Birmingham, Michigan. He used to come up here to go to deer camp up in Ontonagon. He loves the UP. And so he was always trying to get me to come up here and get familiar with the UP because sure. When I was a kid, he was like, this kid's going to Northern. I know it. I can feel it. He was right. But we went on, we did a stretch of the UP 200 in February of, when I was in eighth grade. And okay. We did a 10-mile stretch of it. It was great. We're riding on dog sleds. I'm like, this is crazy. How am I doing this? What is happening here? This is actually a thing. And then the guide, the support shows up with a snowmobile when we're taking a break. And it was like part of the package, you know. Sure. He's like, here, I got some pasties. And he, you know, opens the, you know, he opens
had
the,
him on the
yeah,
engine.
Had, yeah, had him on the engine, nice and hot. Leave him on the engine. You know, and he said, here, put the gravy on him. And I remember thinking, this is weird. And I said, do you have anything else? He said, well, some people put ketchup on it. He kind of gave, and I'm, you know, I didn't know there was a stigma. So I just said, I'll just take the ketchup. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
Gravy's for mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
So I was, from that point, I was like, a pasty deserves ketchup. I'm sorry if I've ruined this entire podcast for some listeners.
I don't think you have because it's very split. And I have to throw up on the page. I'm going to go back and I'm going to do a tally of who said what. And I'm going to put it up there and I'm going to keep a running tally of who prefers what. Because it's really all over the map.
What you've got to do is the blind taste test. You've got to have people who have never... We got to do it with a bunch of freshmen. Here's your first pasty. Sure. What do you think is better? And that will be the unanimous decision. This is what's better based on...
Interesting.
A blind test trial.
Yeah. That would be interesting. That might be good for like a local pasty company for like a commercial. Kind of like the old Pepsi challenge.
Hey, I got ideas. I got ideas, Scott. It's free. Well, it's on the house.
That one's on the house? Okay. Well, I can't thank you enough for sitting down to chat with me because I know you are a busy guy and you've got a lot going on, especially with, you know, the 8th edition of Culture Occult coming up. So thank you again for sitting down and talking with me. This has been awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, it's time for the takeaway from my chat with Mike. The first is writing down your dreams and ideas. Mike was drawing snowboard designs as a kid, dreaming of the day when he could really do it. And then it actually happened for him. Study after study out there shows that you are much more likely to accomplish your goals if you write them down. Or in Mike's case, draw them. So put your pen to a piece of paper and see what comes out of it. In that same vein, my second takeaway is the actual process of following through. Mike wanted to create an art show that could give local artists a spot to shine right next to national talent. So he went out and did it. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that was easy, because it definitely wasn't, but he actually followed through. So I'm going to challenge you to do the same. Follow through on your ideas and dreams. Don't just talk the talk. Get out there and walk the walk. My last takeaway from my chat with Mike is collaboration. Culture of Cult is collaborating with Fresh Coast Film Festival, and Mike is collaborating with local art students, local artists, and big-name talent. He's giving people opportunities because he's been given opportunities along his path. It's people helping people. And in tumultuous times such as these, it's helpful to remember that we're all in this together. So give someone an opportunity in your life. I'd be willing to bet you'll be happy with the results. Chat It Up is a bi-weekly podcast about all things Upper Peninsula of Michigan. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and leave me a review. You can also find Chat It Up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for listening in. I'm your host, Shooter, reminding you to keep your chin up and your eyes forward.